convinced that I have this condition called prosopagnosia.
Wait, what?
Nuh-uh.
Do you know about prosopagnosia?
Isn't this a bit?
It's not a bit.
No, what is that?
It's, I guess, the inability to, like, recognize somebody, like, their face.
What?
Yeah.
You're being for real?
For real.
So, like, you'll see somebody that you should recognize?
Yeah.
And it doesn't...
And I just don't... Like, I would be horrible in a lineup. I mean, if I were to have to identify.
This is a diagnosable thing?
I'd be great in the actual lineup, because I'd be grinning, and I'd be like, it's not me. You know
it
that.
Almost feels like this quality can't exist in an actor for some reason. You know what I mean? Like, not that it's totally tied in, but, like, I feel like actors...
We're supposed to look
are just
and
so
listen.
Observant and, like, so, you know, like, keyed into emotion and reacting and... I don't know. It feels like, how the fuck could you be a good actress and not be able to recognize someone's face?
I'm like a remarkable genius.
I think you are.
I was going to ask you about stand-up, because I have strong opinions about about everything, but about actors versus sort of stand-up comedians.
Yeah? What is it? Tell me.
Well,
you can do it. Go for it.
Are you sure?
Oh, my God. Please.
Okay. Well, I feel like it's a little bit like a musician.
Okay.
So you perform in front of a large crowd.
Yep.
They adore you.
Not always, but yeah. Yeah.
You might be the exception here. But getting that instant gratification,
yep.
Having your jokes work, feeling a true connection, not unlike a musician where, you know, they've created a beautiful song and whatever, and they have this mass crowd just worshiping them. And then how do you... leave that ego in like inflation on the stage and go home and have attempt to have a regular life. With acting, it does feel like you recognize that the crew completely resents you,
mm-hmm.
and they just want to go home.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't indulge you in the same way.
Right.
So there's a different kind of, it's just a different kind of interaction. And how do you not let that head rush?
It's an excellent question.
I don't even know. I'm not killing it, am I?
What are you talking about? No, because...
But will you tell me a little bit about it?
Yeah, but well, first of all, what you're talking about is what so many like different people react to it differently. In other words, there is like a big rush when you, like an adrenaline rush when you do a big show and goes really well. You're up there and people are all focused on you and your things are getting people to laugh. You come off and it's like, that's where people's different personalities take over, because there's the person that's like, turns it into a party every night, you know? So it's like, I got to get high. I got to get drunk. I got to chase girls. That's going to work for some people, but it just depends on the person. You know what I mean? Like there's different guys that handle that differently. For me, like I don't want to meet that many people after a show or in life in general. So when I'm done, like I don't want to do a huge meet and greet. I'm really looking to get a good meal. So I'm like, what's still open, you know? And I'm not looking to like, I don't know, like party. I think part of it honestly is that after a certain age, you're like, you kind of know who you are more. You kind of are like, you know, I'm married. I have a kid. I get my fix of attention while I'm on stage. I don't need to be getting a lot of attention off stage.
Right.
But that's just like, it's not that I'm wonderful or something. It's just how I'm put together.
Did you have different feelings when you were younger?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I liked getting attention for being funny. I don't need to be center of attention walking into a room. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need everybody to stop. But if I said something funny, it felt good enough just to get laughs on that. You know, like that's what feels good to me. And I think it's still like that today. It's like, I do like to be the center of attention when I'm doing stand-up. But to me, that's enough. Like, I feel fulfilled getting a lot of attention and laughs doing that. I don't have to have it. I get uncomfortable with it kind of off stage. You know what I mean? Like, I'm nice to people and I'm like, yeah, hi, and you want to take a picture? That's cool. But I'm not like, I need all this tension, you know?
I was going to make a stupid joke.
Do it.
About, no. It's, well, now I have to do it. But I was going to say, like, and yet you came in here wearing a rainbow sequined.
I fucking had a photo shoot. So it's kind of like part
sports
of that
jacket or whatever.
But you guys, I'll tell you this: you guys have something totally different. You get no gratification when you shoot, like especially like, you know, single camera or film or something. But then you get a crazy level of attention, especially if it's something big. I don't know how that affects you as an actor, because like, I know I've shot a few things where it's like, I'm so used to stand up that like we cut and I'm like, it was that good? And they're like, well, yeah, that's why we're done. Like, we're going to use that one. And I'm like, but no one's laughing. This sucks.
Oh yeah.
And yeah. And then like, they're like, you're done now. And I'm like, are you sure?
Yes.
No one seemed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And yes. They're like, well, we're not a fucking crowd. Yes. Like, and I'm like, all right. And then you just kind of like, I walked into the trailer. I'm like, that was horrible. Like, I didn't like that at all. But then if it's like a big fucking movie, then all of a sudden your face is everywhere and people are like flipping out about what you did.
So Tom, then what are your quiet times then? Like, do you just like go home and like pet your wife and watch Game of Thrones? And
I mean, some version of that. Yeah. I mean, on the road, I'll tell you this, on the road, I'm kind of like the hotel guy. I like being at the hotel. I like staying there. I like having my meals there. I hit the gym, feel good about myself. I love when the shows are over at night and I get to like just take all my clothes off and, you know, just sit in my boxers like I would at home in my hotel and get room service. Like, so that's fun on the road. And at home, yeah, my favorite part of the night is like when my son goes down, he's 2, and it's like, you know, the house is like finally chill and we have like a window to just kind of see what's on Netflix, what movies are out. Oh, wow, it's all garbage. And then watch some documentary and then go to sleep.
So like, you're like an introvert romantic.
Kind of. I mean, yeah. I'm definitely more introverted. I think it's like comics are you'll like, if you meet like a lot of comics, it's a pretty even split. There's a bunch that are extroverts. And then there's a good amount that are kind of like me in that, you know, too much attention, especially like I said, off stage is like overwhelming.
Well, isn't it hard to find that medium where you have the hope of connecting with people, but then it feels like ultimately it ends up feeling really rare that you actually do connect with somebody?
You mean like in life, just
yeah.
In general?
Yeah.
Yeah, it does feel rare.
Yeah, and that's why I think like the most brilliant comics and actors and artists in their medium are great at connecting to the familiarity of loneliness,
yeah,
and isolation or whatever. But then at the end of the day, it's like, well, what do you take home with you? What, you know? And then there's sort of that, because in the outreach of that, I guess the attempt of connection. I'm having a hard time articulating this, but I guess like the idea of the outreach of, I guess, you know, human connection and like how do we solve the problems of loneliness? And these are our avenues that yeah. we attempt to do it. And because of that requires so much generosity of spirit and creativity and vulnerability that at the end of the day, it's like, does anyone understand me as well? And
that's true. That's a big thing. I also feel like, I don't know about how you handle it, but I think ultimately, you know, if it wasn't for other people's efforts, I pretty much withdraw.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm kind of I'll isolate.
Yeah.
And like, I can think back at times where I've been like when I wasn't married or dating or something, like I'll just hang out in a fucking room and like be like, I think I'm content. And then I think someone would be like, I don't know if this is healthy 100% that you're not meeting people. So like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think it's this weird kind of push and pull of like, it actually, you know, it's great to connect with people, but then it can intimidate people and it can also be overwhelming to people. So like,
right.
I love feeling like, oh man, I love hanging out with that person. Like that's the best feeling. But like everything in between that, getting to that feeling and that person is kind of the worst. You know? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like you just are like, this dude is the best, but everyone I met up to that dude, I can do without. And like, you know, I don't know. There's also like so much discomfort and anxiety. The older I get, I think it's actually easier, but like, you know, trying to kind of cater to like how other people might perceive you and like what they think you're like,
of course,
you know, a certain age, you're just like, I mean, that's why fucking old guys are the best. Cause they're just like, yeah, my balls are hanging out of my shorts and I don't give a shit, because they're like being themselves. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about like, they're not taking it all out, but I'm saying they're like, you know, they're just like,
yeah,
this is who I am. You know,
I admire that.
I admire that quality very much so.
I had this moment yesterday. I was doing this like after doing Mom here. I had to go like do some promotional stuff for another project, and I found myself getting relaxed enough that I was starting to pitch some ridiculous ideas. And I had this moment where everyone was kind of looking at me with like those eyes where it's like, are you fucking crazy? Mm-hmm. And I withdrew and I was like, oh fuck. Yeah, I am. I'm like, that was stupid. What I just pitched. That was dumb. Mm-hmm. And I like retreated, and then I felt myself blush, and then I sort of like internally scolded myself for a little while. And then whatever, I went out there and I was like, go see the thing. Mm-hmm. But overcoming that little humps of self-doubt, I guess, where, yeah, it probably was a really stupid idea.
But maybe not. Maybe it wasn't.
Maybe not, Tom.
No, but that's the fucking, that's the thing that sucks. It's like you're on a Ferris, and to hear you say that probably gives a lot of people, you know, kind of confidence. They're like, oh, she feels self-doubt in that moment? Because everybody thinks that like, oh, like on paper, if you're like, I went into a meeting that pitched, they're like, I'm sure like those thoughts don't enter her mind. You know, you're a known successful actress. So like, it's cool to hear you say that, because everybody thinks it's just them. And they think that nobody successful could possibly entertain getting those looks and feeling like, I'm a fucking moron, I should shut my mouth right now, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I fucking hate how many times I've felt so malleable and like easily influenced on an idea I was sure of. I regret it so much. I could think of
me too.
Specific examples of being like, I remember selling this show and getting on the phone with like agents, managers, and they were like, the network bought this idea. Like, they bought the idea off of one line. Here's the thing, though. We see, like, a major flaw in that concept. And I'm like, okay. And then they're like, so you should kind of take it in this direction, which is, like, just not the direction of the idea. And, like, I go, well, I see your point, but, like, I think an audience would just kind of make a leap that that's the concept. And they're like, yeah, I think they wouldn't. And then I was like, oh, okay. Whatever you fucking say then.
Right, right.
And then I went in the total direction that three guys decided to tell me to take it in. And then like when it all was over, I was like, my biggest regret was just that on that phone call, I didn't go, no, I'm just going to stick to what I think we should do, you know?
Right.
But I just let them go like, no, we know that's better.
What would happen though? I'm curious if you actually said that, look, I want to stick to my guns and stick to this idea. Like, what would happen, Anna? You've been in situations like that with executives.
She's difficult to work with. Or, like, I think that there's always the assumption with a lot of, like, the money people that the audience is stupider than the creative types think. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I think it would be, like, you know, dead in the water, and she's difficult.
I think you might be right in that you also have to deal with the fact that they'd be like, well, it's a lady saying it, you know, like... This lady is.
I'm no lady, Tom. You
know, she doesn't know. I think I probably could have moved forward, like Spence said, like, well, like, because ultimately it was up to me. That's what I hate about it, is that they weren't saying, like, you have to change it. They were saying, like, we really think you should change it. And I just allowed them to convince me, even against my own instinct.
Yeah.
You know, it's like one of those things where you're like, what the fuck, man? Like, why would you? Because, you know, you just kind of crumble under the...
Completely.
Yeah. The
machine.
But I feel like these younger executives have to justify their job. So they feel like they need to like say something. Otherwise, what are they doing? If they're just approving or saying, yeah, sure, even if it is a great idea, they need to kind of put their stamp on it so they can say they're doing something with their jobs. I don't know. But
what I was saying, though, is do you feel like as a woman, though, that you feel like that the criticism on you in this hypothetical scenario is more like that you would have been criticized as difficult, but I would have been maybe characterized differently in that scenario?
Well, I don't know about the difficult idea, but I do think a lot about, is she going to be likable enough?
Oh, I got you. Because she's fighting us on this thing.
Right. Her flaws seem a little, like if I was pitching a character, her flaws seem a little bit too deep, too dark. What if her flaws are simply that, you know, she's clumsy or whatever the cliche is, and I'm like, I want to be illiterate and angry and a meth addict.
Yeah.
And they're like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's everything. No.
But I'm a hero. I fight for justice.
I keep getting pushback on things like that I've been taken out now on. Just like if it's dark, and I'm like, that's why I like it, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
This is the part I want in it. And they're like, this, I like this. This is what's funny to me. I'm the guy you asked to come up with something. And they're like, it's pretty dark. I'm like, exactly. That's what I like.
I think that it's like the search for honesty and truth and whatever we see, whatever our reflection is, if we can reflect, if we can do that idea, with a truthful perspective, of course that will read to maybe not everybody, but at least to like a segment of the population that might want to see something in artistic endeavor and feel like, oh yeah, I relate to that. I can relate to that. When I first was pitching House Bunny, I think some of our listeners may know this, but and it's a movie that I'm really proud of.
It's very funny. I've seen it.
Thanks.
It's very funny.
Thanks. But my original idea was like, okay, so this is a woman who she gets kicked out of the Playboy Mansion because, you know, she's too old. She was never that popular. Maybe she didn't give the right dude a blowjob. And she has a meth addiction. Mm-hmm. And she has to go back to her, small town in Alabama with her incredibly strict, Southern Baptist stepfather who's also abusive. And as
that's fucking hilarious. That's so funny.
I'm pitching this to the writers, and they're looking at me and nodding and smiling. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's interesting. That's interesting. And then like a week later, they called and they were like, hey, so we were thinking about your Playboy Bunny idea. And I was like, yeah, wow. And they said, what if instead of being a meth addict, she became the house mom at a sorority? I was like, oh, okay. All right. Yeah. All right. But
certainly more palatable to a wider audience.
But listen, you know that there's another audience for that of crazy course, story, right?
Of course. That's the one.
I still yearn to play her.
But like, that's what like the dark, like, Observe and Report.
Yeah.
Is like that, you know, it was, I think they, like, it's so funny to hear.
Such a funny movie.
Fucking so funny. And if that came out right now,
oh, you
like
can't.
That scene,
yeah,
you know, your guy's sex scene would be like,
what do
would
you think
trending? That, what do you fucking?
No, it would. They wouldn't be. They wouldn't release that.
Yeah, they wouldn't release.
There's no
it.
Way.
Oh, really?
Hell no.
Because I have a different argument for it.
Well, look, it's great. So, but I'm saying that in today, like in this current climate,
I think you guys are wrong.
Really?
Yep.
Why is that?
Because I think that my character
is barely conscious during the time.
Yes, but also made a choice. Like, I think that.
But they'd be having you make this interview constantly, right?
Probably. Oh god, yeah. You're right. Oh god,
yeah.
Oh god. They,
and then you, they'd be like, ugh. Defend, you know, the why would you agree,
but
to-
but that's the thing, is that like it's all blurry mm-hmm. all blurry matter in that world. Like, you had this strong character who my character Brandy, who felt like she was too good for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And she enjoys sex, I imagine. She has a lot of it. And So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
But you're also kind of considering that, like, people would be really thoughtful about all of this. You know?
Like, but they shouldn't. They should be, right? Like,
they should be. But I think there's a lot of pride in for people in being outraged.
Yes, it's, you know what that is? It's like the gift of being offended.
It's at a level we have never seen on Earth.
Tom, I can't stop because you're going through that right now. I don't even know if I should bring it up right now, but I know you're going through it right now.
Yeah, it's go
exactly
ahead.
What you're talking about from his special, Disgraceful.
There's a lot of very offended people, a lot of upset people,
like, because of a certain population in Louisiana.
They're very upset about a joke in a stand-up comedy show.
Right.
I mean, look, I got a lot of support from down there. People, you know, have emailed me and sent me messages like, I can't believe people are upset about this. But I do. Yeah, I mock a guy that I met from Louisiana, and I say that Cajuns, I don't understand why they have rights. And but it's like, here's the thing. Like, I'm saying that not like doing, I'm not running for Congress. Like, I'm doing it in the context of a stand-up show. And then I say we should build a wall around the state of Louisiana because we don't need them. I mean, it's, you know, it's not nice, but it's jokes. But the outrage is real. And like, they did a fucking show. They sent me this link, a local news thing was like, is this comedy or racism? And I was like, wait, what? And they're like, because they're considering the Cajun people to be a race, which they're not a race of people. But I think it feels good for people to go like, that's the bad guy. You're a piece of shit for saying that thing. And like, just kind of, you know.
Don't you think that makes it hard to like to take a risk?
It does make it hard to take the risk, but you do kind of, you know, you got what I figured out. I don't know if it's the same in like making television and movies, but you realize that almost all the people that get outraged are people that weren't going to like you anyways. Like, without that joke, they weren't going to be fans of mine. So I'm just like making sure that they don't come to a show. It kind of works out. You know, it's like, oh, you're definitely not going to buy a ticket now. That's great. Like, I just solidified who likes what I do and who doesn't. And I don't know. I mean, I'm going to deal with backlash. Sure. There's a lot of hate mail and people send me nasty comments, and it's like, all right. I mean, it's a joke, dude. Like,
but is it? It must be just a small population with a loud voice.
It is. It's because what happens is you get, you know, in stand-up, when a special comes out, if it has like wide exposure, you know, people who love it send you like a message. That was great. I love you. You're hilarious. Can't wait to see you. When are you coming to Chicago? Blah 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 blah. And you see all those, and you kind of like scroll past them. And then it's like, you see like, I fucking hope you die. And you're like, I gotta read this. You gotta open that. And it's like, the person sends you all the info, and then they send you six more. So you think of like that person, then you scroll past 400 compliments.
I know. You know? And then there's that one thing though, that's like, I fucking hope you die.
Yeah,
and you're
like, oh God.
Oh God.
Yeah. But I think with stand up too, the longer you do it, it's like snake venom is how I heard it described, you know? You like, you have a little dose of it early on, and then you have a little more.
Yeah.
And you start to kind of like,
that's a great way to put it.
You kind of start to laugh at a lot of it.
That's,
you know,
a great way to put
it. Like, this is like, this guy wrote, I hope you don't break down. He spelled it B-R-A-K-E in Louisiana. I was like, okay. Like, you start to laugh at the little things that you're like, okay, you're outraged. And then you find out, this is my favorite, especially for like a stand-up special, is when they're outraged and they haven't watched it. So you're like, wait, you're mad about something you don't know about yet? Like, they're like, well, I heard that you say something, something. You're like, shouldn't you know what you hate? Like, shouldn't you kind of do your research on how much you hate something? And they're like, yeah.
They're like, I hate that I'm not a stand-up.
Yeah.
Because that was always my dream.
Yeah, yeah. It's basically it. It's like, you're exactly right. I'm funny.
I know I'm right.
I'm funny.
I'm funny too.
Yeah, okay.
Funnier than you, Tom.
You are. You're fucking funny.
Hey, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Will you, well, dear listeners, we have the unbelievable Tom Segura here.
Yeah. Watch my fucking special. Send all your hate mail to at Anna Faris.
Yeah. Hey, Sim, would you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Sim. I love that you're doing these intros, you know, halfway through the show.
How do you guys know each other?
Oh.
We've been friends. We met at a bar like 19 years ago.
Real?
No, seriously. 18 years on Melrose.
Lake Colonial.
It's no longer around.
18 years ago. Were you working already then?
Yeah, she did Scary Movie.
You did Scary Movie 18 years ago?
Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Jesus.
I know.
That's crazy. I can't even fucking register that. What were you in fucking middle school when you did it?
I love you. I just had, you know, I moved down here
from
Seattle.
Okay.
North of Seattle. And met Sim and through like friends of friends, and we just like hung out. I liked him. I thought he was cool.
Yeah, we became good friends and we started this project about 2.5 years ago.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Actually, it's pretty amazing because Sim is like just a dear friend. I just officiated their wedding.
What?
Yeah. Sim just got married.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
His beautiful wife, Amy.
Who's a huge fan, by the way. She wanted to be here, but she had to work.
Now I'm into this.
No, we watched Disgraceful together and we were crying.
Would you guys ever send like a hate message?
Like a post or like a tweet?
Like a anti-fan letter.
No, of course not. No, it's so...
Like an actual letter. So, like you type up a letter and send it through the mail. Or an email.
Yeah. Or like a...
I never understood people like that. Whatever. Whenever, I'm sure you get...
When you read them, you have to... You forget to think about that. But then think about like doing that yourself. And you're like, what?
It doesn't make sense to me. Like some of our iTunes reviews or Apple Podcast reviews where they just completely shit on us. And most of them are great and I never read those, but when they completely just, I don't understand why they take the time to write 2 pages completely just point by point telling us how badly we suck.
Because it's not about you or the show. It's about something going on with that person. And then here's an outlet. Here's a way I can express it. You know, it's like, oh, that's where I can target what I'm upset about. It really is. Like, come on, you're doing a podcast. They're gonna express how much they hate it for 2 pages. Like,
exactly.
Really? You hate Sim that fucking much? I mean, I get it if you could see him, but like just listening to him, like that's crazy.
Exactly.
Man.
It's a leap. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah.
I did do one thing once.
What? Tell you. Oh, I'm so excited.
I've written about it before, but I wrote a letter to the band 311.
Yeah.
After their third album release, expressing disappointment in sort of their creative turn.
I think that's a fair way to do it. No, I think it's different though, because sometimes I don't know if you ever get those.
It was a handwritten letter.
A handwritten letter?
Oh, yeah. And it was like, Dear 311, I've loved you for a long time. And I feel kind of bummed, or hopefully I didn't say bummed.
Yeah.
I probably said something like, I'm incredibly disappointed in the creative turn that you've taken. I just want you to know that, Anna Faris.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. That's great though, because of, I also picture like the person reading that and they're like, what the fuck? Like, why can't we grow as artists? We just have to make Anna happy? I did do one time, I won't say, but I saw a show once and I was at work, like, you know, when I had a day job. And it's like,
What day job?
I was working in post on reality shows.
Okay.
So I was a post coordinator.
Oh my God, amazing.
That's, that job sucks, by the way.
Horrible.
It's a terrible job.
Terrible. Working on, remember like... Trading Spouses and My Big Fat Obnoxious Fiance and those
amazing
hoax shows, basically. And like one time the IT guy came over to me and he goes, you know, you have the busiest internet traffic of anybody in this building. Cause I had just like 50 tabs open. And he's like, what the fuck are you doing? And he's like, and he looks and it's just like, I'm looking at cars and I'm like watching YouTube and he's, the fuck are you doing here? And I'm like checking shit out, man. I don't have anything to do. So, but I was like on some site of a show and I like was disappointed in the show, and it had a tab for like your feedback. But I didn't do like, you guys fucking suck. I gave them like an actual thoughtful, like I was like, I didn't like this and I didn't like that and I didn't like this and that, you know? And I sent it, but I actually still remember sending that. Everybody could fucking blow me on your show.
Were you heard?
Yes. I think I was. No, they didn't say shit to me.
311 didn't hear me either. Like, they were just.
It's
like,
so funny that you wrote disappointed in this new direction.
Okay, so we know, Tom, that you're married.
Yes, Olivia Munn is my wife. She's a lovely, lovely girl.
She's beautiful.
She is. Okay. Don't let her tell you otherwise.
Okay, listen. Here, yes. Imagine that you're single.
Mm-hmm.
These are deal breakers.
Mm.
All right?
Okay.
Okay. You are at Loteria at the farmer's market.
Okay.
For your third date.
Third date.
You ask her if she wants some more salsa, and she says, yes, please, daddy.
Mm-mm. No, I'm not into that. I don't like that at all. I mean, I don't like daddy talk. I don't like anything like that. I don't like any over, what is it? Adulation? Like, I don't like, especially at the beginning, like trying to go to bed, but I keep thinking of you. I'll be like, delete, never call me. Like, I don't like any of that shit either. No. No daddy talk. No fuck me daddy.
What if she's really hot? She's super hot. And you haven't had sex with her yet.
She's so hot.
Okay. Well, maybe.
She's so hot.
Wait, we're still doing daddy though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait.
I'd take it for a spin. I want to try it.
All right. She just says, yes, please, daddy.
I think I'd be like, here's the salsa. And then I'd kind of gauge like, is this going to be regular talk? That's the thing.
Okay.
Like,
all right. Let's give it a whirl.
You know, there's one-offs.
Let's give it a whirl.
Okay.
I'd love some more salsa, daddy. Oh, yeah, okay. Just a tiny bit more.
There you go.
Oh, my God.
This is good. God. These are good tacos.
Oh, my God. I just love me a chimichanga, daddy.
Yeah.
This is cool. I like this place.
I do, too. I like
it. It seems really authentic.
It feels like we're almost in Puerto Vallarta or something.
Oh, my gosh.
You've been down there?
Habla español?
Yeah, un poquito. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. No, I haven't really.
Well, we should go sometime.
Oh my God, I would love that.
Yeah?
I would love that. We have to do it before the wall gets built.
Yeah.
And hey, daddy.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my God, you don't mind if I call you that, do you?
How often?
Oh, no. I mean, it's not like, it's just like sort of a, you know.
Yeah.
Did you ever see that movie, Terms of Endearment?
I kind of remember it.
Anyway, I lost my dad at a young age.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he left. But you kind of remind me of him, but in like a kinkier way, you know?
I'm into this now. I like this. I like it a lot. I don't want to do it.
Daddy?
Yes.
Did you remember to get validated?
Not yet, sweetie, but I'm going to go do it. And change my name in your phone to daddy. I want to be daddy only. If you ever don't call me daddy, it's going to be a problem.
Oh, papi, daddy.
There we go. I'm into it. I'm sold. I'm sold.
Really?
Sold. Yep. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
Come on.
I mean, it feels like a porno, but I like it. Yeah.
Okay. She likes to suck your unwashed toes.
It's weird. I mean, it's weird to be a, because it's like, I'm a guy, you know?
You really like this girl.
This is the challenge.
You like her. She's a good girl.
This is why the deal breaker thing happens, you know?
She's really into it.
Yeah, she just really likes it.
She's a special person, but she really enjoys this.
She grew up on a farm. She was homeschooled.
She's like, don't fucking wash them. Like, always reminding me, don't get in the shower.
Yeah. She's like, I'll clean them with my mouth.
I mean, it's, I guess, yeah. I mean, I'm not like, it's not doing anything for me. you know, personally.
Would you feel a little self-conscious? Or?
Maybe, but I also feel like maybe it's one of those things that you adapt to.
Like, can you enjoy yourself knowing that she's enjoying herself?
I think, yeah, that's the part. I think I would be like, well, she keeps like, she fucking loves it, you know? Like,
would you tell your friends?
Probably not. Probably not. It's different. Like, as a guy, women's feet are like considered, I don't know, pretty like well discussed, but like, think of like a guy. I mean, I take care of myself, but I'm just like, guys' feet.
Let's see.
Are,
take off your shoes, Tom.
You don't want to see these. They're just tied up high. I don't know, guys. We have hair on them.
Yeah. They're not pretty.
What is that a deal breaker for you?
Wait, which part?
If the reciprocated to you.
If he just wanted to suck on my toes all the time?
Yeah.
It depends on if there was if there were other things that he liked to suck on as well,
yeah,
then I would be okay with it.
All right.
But just the toes, that would be tough.
Because
I get nervous when a lot of attention is like...
So you'd want him to move from like toes to someplace else as opposed to just going to the toes.
I thought we were definitely suggesting the same on my scenario. I thought that was where we were getting started. And then... the mouth would move, right? We're not just like...
Nope, just toes.
Just the... Oh, fuck that. No. This was just like, you know, an appetizer. We're going to kind of move it along. If it's just toes... No, dude.
Toes and then lobes.
Toes and lobes?
Yeah.
Like, nah, you're skipping too many spots. No way.
Okay, she has a potbelly pig named Roundy. And you wake up in the morning after, you know, a night of hot loving.
Right.
And you see that your date is milking Roundy. And she wants to make you a smoothie with...
No, get the fuck out of here with your nonsense right now. No. I mean, I'm all for petting the pig and, like, helping her milk.
It's Roundy.
No, fuck Roundy.
You've never had pig milk? It's so good.
No, I don't want to try it.
No, it's so good. No, it's so good for you.
Listen, Krissa.
Yeah?
Fucking no.
Oh, my God. Why are you so close-minded? You weren't close-minded last night.
Well, you know, I let you suck my toes, and you call me daddy, and I put a fucking stop at milk. I don't want fucking milk. I don't want cow milk. I don't want goat milk. I don't want pig milk. No. That's it.
God.
I know. I'm a psycho.
Oh.
Yeah.
What, are you like lactose intolerant?
Exactly. I have diarrhea thinking about that milk.
Right, I hope now. Your fucking car gets towed.
That's rude. And why would it be towed? It's a farm.
Because, no, I grew up in a farm. You parked outside on Franklin.
It's
in that tow-away zone because you wanted to fuck me so badly.
All right, well, make me a shake.
You're gonna be here for a while.
I gave a tip to a guy to try to get us into the national championship.
I know, I heard Bert's podcast. And
oh, you did?
Yeah, it's amazing. By the way, sorry about the final score in the game. But
oh my God. I gave that dude $100 just to try to walk me through a line.
Because it was like an hour to get in, right?
Yes.
Because the president was there.
It's the fucking worst. The worst. Waiting in a line because the fucking president, who, forget all politics, you know he doesn't care about the game. Like, he's just going to, like, make an appearance. That's what bothered me. I would have respected it if he was like, God, I fucking love football. I want to go to this game. He was just there to be like, and then just took off. He didn't even stay for the game.
I was going to go there to make an appearance.
You're fine.
And I was going to say, like, and I.
Can you sing?
Did you not just hear?
I mean, like, that was a taste, though.
Can you give us more?
We'll always love you.
But maybe you can do other things, you know? Like, you can dance.
I like your voice. Keep going.
Fuck off.
I thought you were doing well.
Thanks.
I don't know how Tom feels, but I thought you were
doing well. I thought that was great. I want to ask you a serious question.
Yeah.
What's your favorite type of role to play?
Oh.
Wait, one.
Oh, I love this multiple choice.
Role. No, this is in second question.
Oh, okay.
What, like, wheelhouse of role do you want to play that you've never, that you haven't done yet?
I really want to be a horrible villain.
You want to be a bad person?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've had a couple of opportunities to be like incredibly obnoxious, which I think taps into my natural spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I'd like to be
the villain.
I'd like to be a bad, bad person.
Uh-huh.
Can you see that in my eyes?
Yeah, I see it. And what's your favorite that you've played thus far? Not, it doesn't have to be the specific character, but I'm saying type, like what traits do you like playing thus far?
I liked being a complete narcissist in Just Friends, mm-hmm. like spoiled and bratty and sort of like coming from a world that I never personally ever knew, sort of just a rich girl who felt completely entitled, who was also insane. I don't know. What would it be for you?
My man, fucking anything.
I could see a killer behind your eyes.
I'm actually trying to get something made where I'm a killer. That's what I'm trying to shop.
Can I be your killer cousin?
Would you?
Oh, fuck yeah. I'll be like your little ratty, like tweaked out.
Yeah, I'd be like hunched over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Meth, you can bring the meth problem with you.
Oh, yeah.
Incorporate what wasn't in
Daddy.
That. Yeah. Daddy. My cousin that calls me Daddy.
Daddy.
Who's that? Is that your girl? That's my cousin. She keeps calling you Daddy.
Daddy. Get the fucking shit and we gotta fucking go.
Yeah, all right, let's go.
Daddy, I have to run a couple of like really funny jokes by you.
All right, let's hear them.
Okay, Daddy, but we gotta get the fuck out of here, but are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, Dad.
Gosh, this is so uncomfortable. So weird. What do you think?
You actually physically recoiled. That was amazing.
It's so, what is your actual real thought on, I mean, pet names happen in relationships, you know, but what's your real thought on Daddy?
Oh boy.
Right?
Well, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
Pet names don't come, I think, pretty naturally to me anyway, though.
Right. Well, okay. But I mean, like you.
And I have a really great relationship with my own dad.
Yeah. No, that one, but it's so fucking wild, right?
Yeah. But at the same time, there's something that's like, now this is me. I don't know. Maybe you cut this part out. I don't know. But there's something like erotic about being treated like a little doll.
Mm-hmm.
See? I don't know.
I love their faces. Their faces were amazing. There was a quick moment where you all were not self-aware.
Can't I be like the dominatrix and like, you know, like the little baby?
I don't understand the doll part though. What do you mean by that?
Well, more that like an innocent. Like I want to be both. I want to be the dominatrix. I want to be able to like throw somebody down and be like, you know,
kick
whatever.
You in the balls.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, a few minutes later being like, look at me.
What's wrong with that? That's great.
Yeah, you can be both those. That's fair.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
I mean,
Cassie's like wincing. She's like, what
my wife loves, she, you know, as a joke, you know, obviously we see like a lot of videos that are like like our podcast is outrageous videos and audio and all this. So like one time I show her this video and it's this like, I guess Dom dressed in like, you know, not in like dominatrix gear, but like basically dressed like she's going to work at an office, right? Like skirt and heels and blah, blah, blah. And the guy comes in. Anyway, she just starts kicking the fuck out of his balls and then like gets him down to his underwear, keeps kicking him in the balls, then strips him down naked. So there's no, like you're not like, is he wearing a cup? And she's just lighting him up, right? Just kicking him. He's like, huh. And he's like shaking. And she's like, I want you to suffer. She keeps telling him, I want you to suffer. Grabbing his balls, just beating him, kicking him. And I'm like laughing. And then I'm like, woof. And I show it to my wife and she's nodding. She goes, I would do that. I could do that. And I'm like, wait, what? And she's like, I would love to be able to like have some guy pay me to kick his balls and stuff. I'm like, you like this? She goes, that's not that I like it, but I'm saying I would do that. I would do that for money.
Well, there's a lot I'd do for
money. Would you get pleasure out of it the way Tom's wife seems to?
No. Because I know, but.
But he's signing up. He's like, he's not fighting you on it.
I haven't explored this mentally.
Yeah. He's actually like, I want to do this.
God. No, I wouldn't get, but no. I don't know. Isn't there always like that juxtaposition of like the, you know, the power control and in all that, in like sexual play? It's like people, and I'm not quite sure it should be overly examined in a person. Like,
I mean, no judgment. Is that what you
mean? Yeah. Like some people's desires should be just,
that's what they
left,
like, and you leave, and you leave it alone.
Yeah. Why overanalyze?
Yeah,
it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Unless of course there's victims involved, and that's of course another that's a horrible tragedy. But in one's own imagination, I think like a shoe fetish or kicking somebody's balls or sucking toes or whatever. I don't know. People should be able
to piss on me, beat me, try it out. Yeah.
they should be able to, there should be a freedom in that element of imagination.
I totally agree. There's some fun stuff out there. Go for it.
You know what we have to do though? We have to get the calls. Is that okay?
I have to leave in like
half hour. Is that good? All right. You know what? We're going to do this. I promise both these callers. So let's do 10 minutes each. All right, so
we're calling these people.
Yeah, we're gonna call Laura first. Laura is here in LA, and she's 29.
Hello.
Hey, Laura, it's Sim. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm gonna introduce you to Anna. Anna, say hi to Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, and you're here with Tom Segura.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Tom Segura.
How you doing?
I'm great. How about you?
Doing great.
So, Laura, your boyfriend is not having sex with you anymore, and there's a reason why. Why don't you tell us the story? What's going on?
Okay. So, he is a little bit less experienced than I am, and he knows that. But for some reason, he has been a little bit insistent on wanting to have a threesome, and it started really bothering me because he kept bringing it up. And I started wondering, you know, like, why does he want to fuck other women? Like, this is really disturbing. I love this guy. We've been together almost a year. So I even had a nightmare about it, actually, because I was so bothered by it. So I thought, okay, I've got to say something to him. So I brought it up at dinner one night, and I kind of went through all the scenarios and reasons of why that's a bad idea. And I told him, you know, like, what's going to happen? Like, if we are having a threesome with another girl, you go for her first. I'm going to get mad. That's one scenario. This is also, you know, something that you do with kind of like throwaway people, not somebody that you really like care about and are in a relationship with. And then finally, I said, also, you know, what if you come in 2 minutes? And then you're going to be embarrassed. And that, looking back, that was the wrong thing to say. But it's totally killed his libido, emasculated him. He thinks that I don't want to have sex with him. He thinks that I think he's embarrassing and bad in bed. And now he's completely defeated about it. And he doesn't want to have sex with me at all. And that's been going on for about a month. So I'm like really sad that I have this tension now in my relationship, and I don't want him to feel bad, but I don't know what I can do to fix it. So really what I'm wanting to know is how can I make him, you know, get his mojo back and, you know, feel good about himself and want to have sex with me.
Oh boy. So do you like on a scale of 1 to 10, I mean, do you love him, Laura? Like, do you see a future with him?
I do, yes. That's why this is really bothering me to the point that I'm seeking out advice about it.
I got to tell you one thing that I'll say. First of all, I think that nothing, you know, you can't overemphasize like communicating enough. And it sounds like you've, you know, and I'm not saying you haven't made attempts to, but like restating like your passion about him and how much you desire him, you know, reassuring someone, especially if you think they feel insecure about something, you know, guys, we're kind of like, you know, we have pride, we're dumber. And if you really go out of your way to like really reassure somebody and really express your desire, especially, you know, especially like your desire to have sex with him and like you're explicit about that, it's going to get to the point where your message is going to come through. So I would say, like, you know, it sounds like almost juvenile, but like constantly reassuring and making a, taking a real swing at doing that is the kind of thing that like, as a guy, we're like, okay, I buy it now. Because, you know, a lot of times you're like, I've already said it. I know he feels that way. Well, he needs to hear it again. And then he needs to hear it again. And then he needs to hear it again, you know?
And Laura, I am of the opinion that threesomes are not a great idea for like a long-term stable relationship. But I was also at a place in my life in my 20s where I felt like I sort of, upon reflection, sort of sought to make my boyfriend jealous. And I want to make sure that maybe you don't get caught into that idea at all, because it's powerful. It's powerful to be like, oh, I had all these crazy sexual encounters, and what do we have now? And so of course he's feeling maybe a little insecure. So I would do exactly what Tom said, but I also maybe examine how much, you know, you love him and want to be with him. And I would definitely not recommend a threesome. That is where I'm
right.
coming from.
I totally agree. I feel like that my whole point backfired on me, because the whole point of it was, you know, I had a nightmare about like the thought of him sleeping with someone else. Like, that was my whole point, is that, you know, I care about you and I would never want to open up our relationship to something so stupid, you know? And I feel like in that point, maybe I didn't convey that message clearly to him, and I said it in a way that was hurtful. But I feel like my motivation for saying anything was just that, you know, I only want to be with you. I only want you to want to be with me. And it didn't come across that way. And now I just feel totally stuck.
Well, I think that you just continue. Then, you know, I think you tell him exactly that, and tell him how, you know, how much you love him, and, you know, be intimate and physical. And if he sort of shrugs you off or whatever, maybe try one or two more times. Don't let yourself get too powerless in the situation, but because it sounds like you both are kind of manipulative with each other at this sort of stage in the game, I guess. But I would, if you love him, then continue to make him feel supported. And all that's racing around in his mind right now is you having threesomes. And he's feeling like, how do I combat that? How do I compete with that? How do I, how am I a man in Laura's eyes? And yeah.
And when he brings it up again, which he will,
yeah,
just be like, you know what? It was awful. I regret that I did it. And I'm not even proud of it. Like, whatever. That's, whether or not that's true, it's like, that's ultimately, listen, that's what the guy wants to hear. He wants to hear that you don't miss that, and that was...
Lie to him.
And
lie as much as possible.
And if you love him this much, you could also say, like, you know, I think I said that to sort of tantalize you.
Yeah.
And exactly. I regret that I said that.
If he means...
Because it was awful. Or whatever, like, whatever your truth or...
If she loved it, she shouldn't tell him that. Exactly. Lie to him about that. Of course. No guy wants to hear that she had fun.
And you can say it, like, if you told him before how great it was, do what Anna said and be like, yeah, but I was saying that because I was being childish. You know, you put it on yourself. Like, I wanted to elicit some emotion in you, so I exaggerated. It wasn't like that. It was actually uncomfortable and it was gross.
Right.
And I only want
That's actually
you.
Really good. Uncomfortable and gross are two great words that I should hear.
Yeah, of course.
But Laura, this is like an examination
for
you.
And they had small dicks.
No, not getting into size conversation. But Laura, I think really what it means for you, I think, is an examination of how much you want to be in this relationship. And if you want to, then those are your chores and those are your tasks. Is to reassure him that that you're his and you're, you know, he's yours and that you guys are going to try to make this work. If you're not into that, then I would break up with him.
Can I throw out an alternate scenario and tell me if this doesn't make sense at all? But what if he's playing a little bit of a mind game to try and punish her for saying that? What if he's like, is there a world where he's doing that?
Men always want to punish women for their past sexual encounters. Don't you guys think?
Yes. At least for a phase. Unless you're talking about like a mature person.
Just trying to make her feel awful about it. And I don't know if it's...
It's good to even actually make note of that, Laura, for the rest of your life, no matter how many relationships you're in. Like guys, until they're, you know, a certain age, or even actually when they are mature, like they don't want to know that it was great before. For most guys. I mean, some guys,
That other things were more adventurous.
They feel it feels threatening to most guys.
And for women, there's also the counterpart too, where it's like hoping that, like, we're the most beautiful one that you've ever been with, or like, you know, you've never worshipped a body more, or you know, what, like, there's the other, and I hate to gender stereotype like this, but it seems to me that it's kind of the sad truth of things a little bit. But so Laura, your job here is to figure out how much you want to be in this relationship. And if you really love him, then maybe it's worth being the bigger person here and saying like, you know, I told you about those experiences because I wanted to be tantalizing and I wanted to, but they weren't great. And I love you so much. I don't really want to do them. You know, you're an amazing lover. And if you don't feel that way, then you say, you know, I guess maybe it's time we think about other options or something. I don't know.
But it's true. That actually is the first consideration. The first consideration you need to make in any of this is how important is the relationship to you? Because that should dictate everything else.
Hey, Laura, we're a little short on time today, but is this okay? Are you okay with this advice?
Yes, I appreciate it very much. All advice is good advice for me at this stage, so thank you.
Well, send me an email and let me know how everything
Laura,
goes.
Yeah, Laura, please let us know because you are not alone. I feel like we've had a lot of submissions about this very idea.
It's true.
And I love you and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Laura.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye, Laura.
Bye.
Can we do one more call real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, boy, the threesomes.
Always a bad idea, right?
Always a bad idea.
That shit was like, I know, too. It's like that. Once she told him that, that was in that guy's head forever.
Oh, yeah. I know.
Of course, right?
There's always like that one guy who's like, that's awesome. Tell me, how hard did
and
you come during
kind
that?
Of a dick.
Yeah, that guy's fucking weird. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is the other one here?
Yeah, we're going to call Megan right now. Look at the bottom part because she had a little, her situation evolved a little bit. So just that. And she is in St. Louis and she's 28.
Hello.
Hey, Megan, how are you? It's Sim.
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Here's Anna.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good. How are you?
I'm good. And you are here with Tom Segura.
Hi, how's it going?
Hi, Tom.
Hey, so Megan, tell us what is going on with your boyfriend. What happened?
Okay, well, we've been dating, I guess, for now about 2 months. And everything's going great. And I really like him. But he does this thing that bothers me quite a bit. And he just finds it necessary to share his like past sexual experiences with other women with me, like in detail for the most part. It kind of started when we first started talking. Just like one example, we were just talking, making small talk, and he said, "Oh, have you watched the show Stranger Things?" And I said, "Oh yeah, absolutely, I love it." I said, "How about you?" And he said, "Yeah." So I was dating this girl like a few months ago and we watched the whole first season but we would like stop and have sex in the middle and we did it all in one day and it was a really, really great day. I was just like, okay, not really necessary to tell me that. You could have just answered the question with a yes or no, but you know,
that's hold on.
And okay.
Wait, because that right away, only two scenarios come to mind. It's either that someone's oblivious as to, you know, when they're saying that, or they're deliberate in when they're saying that. But you would pick up on somebody's being oblivious or deliberate in other facets of how they, you know, have conversations. So do you think he's oblivious when he's sharing that? Like, hey, man, that's just something you don't need to tell the current person.
I think he's lying.
Well, that's okay. That's
you think he's lying?
Well, I want you to continue.
Yeah, sorry.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, because I that was actually the third scenario that I didn't even think of, which is that he would be making that up. But keep going. I'm sorry. So that was your example. Keep going.
Well, I mean, like, it was pretty consistent when we were first, like, talking. Just anything I had to say or any story that I had, he would kind of, like, add his story, but it always involved him hooking up with some other chick. But anytime I kind of like throw it back, he shuts down and he gets really, really quiet. And I don't really go into detail. I just even go as far as mentioning like, oh, this dude I dated. And then I say, you know, I tell a story. but he's done other things too, where like he will bring up like old photos that girls have sent him. They're not like nude photos.
Wait, he'll show you the photos?
Yeah. And he's like, oh, look at this. Isn't this funny? And I'm like, no. And then he just kind of laughs it off because I think he thinks I'm being like sarcastic or dry. And it's not that. And the problem I'm having is like, I don't know how to approach it because I don't want to jeopardize anything. I'm not a jealous person. I don't want him to think I'm coming at him in like a jealous rage and telling him like, you can't talk to women or this or that, you know? But it's just, it happens so frequently that it's just really starting to wear on me.
How long you been together?
2 months. We've known each other for a while though, but we just recently started dating.
Okay.
How much do you like him?
I definitely like him a lot, and I feel like I could see a future with this person.
What do you like about him?
He's just very, like, he's not embarrassed about, like, his, like, hobbies or things that he likes. He's just very genuine. He's very himself. The older I get, the more I appreciate that because, like, he likes what he likes, and he's not embarrassed to talk about it or, you know, he's really proud. And I like that. That's like what attracts me to him the most.
In your gut, why do you think he's telling you about these experiences?
I wonder, like, maybe if it's because he's been single for a while. Maybe he's not used to being a boyfriend yet, you know? And he's still kind of in, like, that single brain where everything's a story about people that you've dated or hooked up with. I mean, that's, like, kind of how I'm feeling.
I mean, I think it's typical sometimes. I remember when I was single, if I was dating someone, I think when I was younger, because of my insecurity at the time, I would say things, not to that extent, but just about, you know, if I dated a pretty girl, I'd kind of somehow try and casually slip it in or whatever, just to make myself look better to the person I was on a date with. And at the end of the day, it was complete insecurity on my part. And it's something I knew that made me sound like a complete douchebag.
Yeah.
Of course, that was my early 20s then, and I stopped that. But
this is so interesting because there's so many, like, there really are actually more, like, different reasons why this might be happening. I mean, one of them that comes to mind is that, you know, especially hasn't dated a lot. It's an insecurity, and he's almost like showing you that, like, you know,
he's worthy.
I've been with other people.
Right.
I know that this is like a relationship now, but I'm like proving himself.
Sure.
You know, to you, because I mean, it doesn't seem like, at least from what we've picked, like what you've said, that like it doesn't seem like it has a malicious streak in it. Like it's not like trying to be said, at least I don't pick up on that, like, if unless you're saying that that's being done, like,
yeah, I don't think he's genuinely
trying to harm you by telling you that. And that's where I feel like there at least might be some aspect of also obliviousness. In other words, sometimes you haven't dated a lot, you don't know some of the etiquette, you know, of like, that's a story he would tell his buddy if they're out playing around to golf and a text comes in and he's like, oh, check this out. You know, me and this girl, we actually did this and blah, blah, blah. And he's just kind of like, you know, sharing it with the wrong person. You know, it's like harmless. It feels to me like if you are, you know, you're able to communicate well, if you go like, look, I got to tell you, I'm not jealous. I know that like you've dated women. I know you have friends that are women or whatever, but like, you don't have to I don't want to hear these stories. I don't need to hear these.
Tom, I like what you're saying, but I would go at it from a different angle.
Okay, which is?
I would say to this guy, like, hey, I really like you. And sometimes when you tell me these things, it makes me jealous. And I don't want, like, I'm really into you. I think that you're really into me. I see, like, an awesome future for us. But I can't, I'm not great with hearing these stories. And, you know.
Nana's advice is better.
That actually is good, because if I heard that, I would stop immediately.
Yes.
Any guy
and
would,
actually,
right?
If you do what Anna said, you're also going to get, you're going to know whether he
right.
feels
that's
this
so
way,
right, right,
which
right.
is the key to it. Because if he like is like, well, that's your fucking problem, then you know that he's not valuing, yeah. you know, how you feel about it. So Anna's totally right.
But if he's like sweet and humble and he's like, and he like takes a step back,
that's
you know, internally,
yes.
then, you know, you have a great person who's just been simply trying to impress you because he loves you.
And if he sends you like hardcore nudes that night of other girls, then you gotta marry that girl. That guy's solid.
But this is interesting because you guys are only, you know, 2 months into the relationship. So, I mean, it can go at any place at this point. So do you feel like she should talk to him sooner than later, right?
Sooner. Oh, yes. Most definitely. Yeah, like as soon as possible. But there is something indicative about the idea that they went to high school together. So he may have been sort of worshiping her from afar a bit. So then there's this other element.
Wow, you just took it. You went deep diving there, but I like that. That makes sense.
And especially what about if they went to high school together, and in high school, I don't know his history, but like, let's say he never had girlfriends hooked up, and now he wants to be like, you know what?
Because she didn't, Megan didn't know that, but he did. Right. And anyway, so Megan, be honest with him and let him know that like the only kind of communication you can, you know, that you want to deal with is just sort of openness. And I bet he'll be so appreciative. And
yeah, I mean, you come from a place of love and kindness and I like you. That's you.
Because it's clear that to me that he's trying to prove himself to you.
Absolutely.
Like whatever. And, anyway, and I bet he'll just.
All right, so let's give him some let's give her some final advice before we let her go.
Okay, well, let us know how everything goes, but also I think just tell him that you're really into him, and when he tells you these stories, that it makes you feel jealous and insecure, and you don't like that, and that will make you seem incredibly confident.
I like confidence.
Anyone else?
No, I think a solid advice from Anna. Do that approach, and the response will be all the results you need. It's gonna dictate what you do. You should listen to the response that you get, because it's gonna tell you what direction to go in. Don't ignore the response that you get.
Megan, let me know how it goes.
Yeah, Megan, thank you so much. Thanks so much. I love you, and thank you.
Oh, thank you, guys. I love you, too.
Bye.
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 Tom.
I gotta fucking go, Anna.
Tom, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was so fun.
Netflix is graceful.
Yeah, please watch
your podcast is amazing.
Your mom's house. Yes.
Can I come on it?
Will you?
I would love to.
I want to set it up. All tell right. me how who to...
We'll do it through...
I'm going to need your watch.
Okay, you can wear it. Here you go.
It is a nice watch.
Bye,
thanks,
Tom.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks.